Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome everyone to the 66th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan Senpai, and with me is the hippest man in the room, Glitch.
What up?
The stupid awesome analyst, John.
Yo!
And a hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hi! Or is it... I know we just got to this nickname for you, Dylan, after all these episodes, but shouldn't it be Dylan Not Killin' now?
I don't know. I actually thought of a much better name. I am 1-to-1 scale Dylan.
I like that. Although, if anybody didn't catch the piece of gold that Dylan dug up on the internet.
Should I just tell that story? I've never told it on the podcast
before. Yeah, go
before.
For it. It's an awesome story.
So this actually isn't the first anime podcast I've ever appeared on. When I was in middle school, this was about 10 years ago, I think, maybe more than that. I was a fan reviewer on a video podcast that was hosted by John Yuen Bosch and like several other random internet personalities. And the first episode, I was like really excited because this was at the height of my like anime obsession. And I was excited to be a fan reviewer on this cool podcast by like one of my favorite voice actors. And at the end of the first episode, I waited to see my name in the credits with all the other like 100 fan reviewers. And I didn't see it. And so I looked through it again, and I found out that they had spelled my name with a K for some reason, so it was Killin. And I thought it was funny, and so we actually had to have pen names in case our reviews appeared on the show, which one of mine actually did for Fate Stay Night, and I think like the sixth or fifth episode, something like that. And my pen name for the show was Dylan Not Killin.
Yeah, and we have that video that we posted to our Facebook page, and I'll post it in the description of this episode too, because it is a wonderful piece of nostalgia.
Did you rip it too? So that
like, I did. I have it on my computer now, just so I have it forever, just in case Dylan's like, no, I don't want it. I have it.
Did you? You can actually go back to the first episode and watch my name be spelt wrong. I thought that they had remastered it, but I think they might have like changed their YouTube channel like a couple years ago or something. I don't think the show is actually around anymore. It like after that first season, I think it really died off, and like Johnny Yuen Bosch, I don't think was associated with it anymore, and it just became like hosted by two of the previous hosts.
And nobody wanted anything to do with it if Johnny Yuen Bosch wasn't going to be there.
I guess so. I don't know.
That's
the other
sad.
Hosts were funny, but I mean, it was Johnny Yuen Bosch was like, you know, a big name to have. Yeah. Especially at that time, because that was when, I guess, like, Naruto was big and Rekka 7 was on then, too.
Was it really all that long ago? I don't remember.
I thought I was in high school when...
It's not even an HD video, if you guys can stomach it.
It's in a 4:3 ratio. Yeah. Forget that noise.
Just a little epilogue to the end of that story is, I thought that it was so funny that they spelt my name wrong. Because I don't know how they could have thought that was right, because D and Cake are, like, really far away on a keyboard. But I use Killin as my like gamer tag on everything. So if you see Killin or Killin 56 or some variation, that might be me.
And it's all from his early days of anime blogging.
Yeah, that was before I even had like a PS3 or like anything like that. So
it's a good way to get a nickname.
Yeah.
Typos.
All right, I think it's about time that we ring the news bell.
News.
And we don't have a lot of news today, but we have some really interesting pieces. First up for media news, we've come across this, there's been this whole new trend of everybody being outspoken about the direction that the anime industry is going. Hideki Anno is the next person in line who's been talking about it. He's the creator of Evangelion and Gunbuster, all that really awesome stuff. And he is predicting the death of the anime industry, quote-unquote, for in the next 5 years. He was doing an interview with a Russian magazine, Sputnik magazine or something like that.
That sounds pretty Russian.
Yeah. Vodka Sputnik magazine, maybe. I don't know.
Vodka Sputnik.
Vodka Quarterly.
Zangief magazine.
Yeah.
Busted Car Weekly.
But yeah, so he's got this whole interview about him talking about the death of the anime industry, and it's not that he was talking about how horrible, like, it's not from the same take that like Hayao Miyazaki took when he said, like, anime sucks.
Grumpy old man.
He's talking about the thing about human resources, and there isn't funding, and animators get paid $2 an hour. You know, he's talking about all that stuff in the anime industry in Japan, and he's saying that he doesn't think that the anime industry is going to go away. There's probably going to be a Great Depression where it's going to be in a slump, even worse than it is now.
Arms Corporation will thrive!
Yeah, he has hope that the anime industry is going to continue in a non-Asian atmosphere. Hmm. How weird is that? Like, that just a bunch of fans from around the world are going to pick up anime and hire, you know, people to keep making Japanese-inspired animation. And that's where he thinks it's going to... Yeah, exactly, like Avatar or something of the sort. I mean, we have that one that's been funded on Kickstarter that was coming out in what? A Middle Eastern country, that mecha anime?
Oh, yeah.
I forget the name of it right now, but... Like, that one was huge. It exploded on the internet.
Wait, so this will end the argument of, is it anime or just a cartoon because it's made in America or not? Ha ha, their anime is now, bitch.
Yeah, right? Yeah, see, but I'm still on that side. It looks like anime, but it's not anime. Like, literally, anime is
but what
a
if
cartoon
it saves
from
the
Japan.
Anime industry?
What if it saves the anime industry? I don't know. I just kind of look at it as animation.
It's fanimation.
I don't really know where to go with that. If Japan isn't animating anymore, I mean, technically all animation is considered anime in Japan because that's just what they call it. But that's all I have for media news, and it's a really interesting topic to think about. You know, will it actually go away in 5 years or even that long? And what will happen after that? Will everything just go away, or will everything about the anime industry just be 100% nostalgia after that? So next up, gaming news. To kick off gaming news, did you guys hear the continuing rumors about Silent Hills that the X-Bone is going to get exclusively now?
Yeah, that's false.
I did see that. Yeah, I saw that Microsoft wanted to buy it from Konami before E3. I don't know. I didn't read anything saying that they actually had, but it'll be interesting to see if they pull that off.
Yeah, raise your hand if you've ever heard anybody if you've ever heard anybody say, "Hey, Microsoft made a great Konami game." No? No one? Okay. Like, yeah, that is the most BS rumor I've ever heard. Like, it would be so awful. No Silent Hill fans would even, like, stoop that low to buying it.
There's, like, a whole bunch of conspiracy theories about this. They're saying that the game is 80% done. The only thing that they're waiting on is Norman Remus to finish his mocap, which is, like, 100% of the game.
Yeah.
And also that, like, the game will be worth billions because of this move. And that's the reason why PT was taken off of the PlayStation Network.
It's not going to be worth billions. I think if it was as cool as PT was, like a full game that's that cool, it will definitely do really well. And it would be a good decision for anyone to buy the game. But, yeah, I just don't know.
But you see, the thing is, too, is Konami wouldn't be working on it. Microsoft would be working on it. And they would... I have no doubt in my mind that they would just screw it up.
Well, I mean, if you think about the previous games from the Silent Hill series, Downpour and even, like, Homecoming, not really the main focus of what Silent Hill is about.
Yeah. See, and I actually liked Homecoming, and I never played Downpour, but I guess Downpour was really, like, it was mechanically bad.
Yeah.
Like, very mechanically
bad. And then one of the main focuses that they focused on in the game was, like, check out how many weapons you can pick up. And that was never, as Silent Hill was.
In fact, it was Silent Hill was always the opposite. It was like, look how many weapons you don't have. You better be scared.
You wish you had this weapon?
Yeah. Yeah, right? It was like, I really wish I could pick up that pre-rendered environment object to hit this monster.
Not even that, but it's just like, I have a gun that has one bullet in it. What am I going to do with it?
Especially because all the monsters in the game take like 50 shots to kill.
Yeah, it was awful.
Just throw the gun.
Yeah, just throw it and pick it up.
But that's what makes Silent Hill so great.
Use it as like a weapon.
Hang on, time out, monsters. Time out.
I don't know. I actually would be for Microsoft being able to make this game. The new like head of Microsoft, or at least the game, like the Xbox part of it, I forget his name, but he seems to be like he's more in touch than the last guy. So it would be a really good decision for them to do that, because I can't actually think of many like good Japanese games for the Xbox.
Yeah,
yes, it's true.
If you think of like good JRPGs, are usually on. they're usually on like maybe the Wii or the PlayStation.
I'm probably just gonna jump on though and just say that if Konami is not making it, then I probably won't play it.
I would be fine. I mean, if Microsoft just basically buys it and did whatever they want with it, yeah, I'd be really like skeptical about that. But if they actually got Kojima to work on it again, and then even possibly Del Toro at that point, then I would be all for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that because that was the real running factor of that, was the fact that they were on that project.
Yeah.
Although Del Toro has had the worst run with games ever. He's had, like, what, three video games canceled that he's wanted to work on?
So, I would rather it just not come out and, you know, make it one of those things that was just like, yeah, that was a nice thing that was going to happen. Because that was going to be one of my main reasons for even picking up a PS4. But now it's gone. And is it going to be my main reason to pick up an X-Bone? I don't think so.
Next up, what we have in gaming news is almost like a strange news story. We actually don't have any strange news, but this one is pretty close. It takes the cake. Did you guys see the reports of that truck filled with Splatoon special editions that was completely robbed clean of all of its copies?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, okay, so it had everybody's pre-order special editions that came with all three amiibos and a limited edition of the game that came with extra content.
Yeah.
And it was completely stolen clean. Splatoon!
Yeah, like ice.
I thought I heard about this, but my understanding was that it was specifically an amiibo shipment, and
yeah,
since those are so freaking valuable, or like certain ones are.
Amiibos?
Yeah, it is. It's the amiibo. They stole them for the amiibos because then they're gonna steal the amiibos and then scalp them.
They did.
Yeah.
But it did actually have the game with it, because the way that they were going to rectify this thing happening, one, they could not give the people who pre-ordered this special edition a new special edition.
Yeah.
Because they're gone, they are gone. So what Nintendo is doing is they're shipping out, like everybody who had it pre-ordered, they already have a game of Splatoon. Like, they got their Splatoon copy, and when the amiibos become more readily available, they're going to give them the amiibos afterwards.
But they're going to ship out the amiibos individually instead of shipping them out as the special edition.
Right. Yeah. Which is awful. Like, that's just like, I would still totally do it, because have you guys seen the Splatoon amiibos? They look amazing. Like,
I guess since I don't have a Wii U, I honestly don't see the appeal of amiibos.
Yeah.
If you're a Nintendo fan, they are kind of cool little figures of, you know, the
most. Yeah, they're cool and everything, but at the same time, like, the genuine uproar and hugeness of all this is really ridiculous. Kind of like how Pokemon cards were in the 90s.
Well, people are buying them for their collectability. Like, people are buying them and not opening them.
Yeah.
Like, that's why people are buying them. And I can use it on my new 3DS, because I don't have a Wii U, but I have a new 3DS, and they're compatible with those.
Yeah. And not to mention, they give you special content.
You know? Yeah, you can unlock special content by buying them.
I've still never heard of anyone buying an amiibo for game content, though.
That's, yeah. That is true.
No, I know, yeah.
We do have friends who have bought amiibos, like, waited in line to buy special edition amiibos.
And a lot of our fans do it, too. We always get pictures from our fans of the amiibos that they waited in line for.
Yeah, if anybody listening does have, you know, amiibos that they've waited for or anything, why do you wait for amiibos? Like, what is... Email us about that.
What's the appeal? Like, maybe if I ever get a Wii U and I'd understand more, but... Until then, I'm just still confused.
And if anybody has the Target exclusive Rosalina, an extra one, please send it to me.
I do like the idea of like an Italian job type scenario where these trained criminals steal a truck full of Nintendo figures.
I was thinking more...
It's you, us, and Amiibo. Yeah.
We got that Nintendo gold.
They like rob it wearing Mario masks. Like Mario Luigi, while
Why masks. I have to be Peach?
Amiibos. They flip the truck over by throwing turtle shells at it. And then
it's a blue. You open a suitcase, there's a blue shell.
Ride up in go karts.
Oh my gosh!
Someone make a video of this.
Yeah. Speaking of Nintendo stuff, I actually have a fan story that got sent to us from Gerardo. Gerardo sent me a news story saying Nintendo is hiring Bowser as their vice president of marketing for Mario games.
What does that even mean?
Okay, so...
It means, I don't know what to do. Let's have a cartoon character run this shit.
So they hired a man, like an actual man whose last name is Bowser, and they put him on vice president of marketing for Mario.
He's never been a vice president of marketing. He used to just work in a laundry
like an
mat,
old fisher,
but his last name was Bowser.
This is a real story.
Wow. I don't know. That sounds like a publicity stunt.
Hang on. Well, I'll look it up. I'll look it up right now.
I'm thinking about the Italian job. Now, that gives it a whole other name for me.
I think I always picture it as the... Which Fast and Furious did they do the safe heist? Was that 5?
Oh, that was
Fast 5?
5, yeah. Fast
20,
5.
Maybe.
Well, they robbed a truck in 1, didn't they? Yeah, but in the first one, they steal VCR players and stuff.
Okay, so straight from IGN. Nintendo of America has appointed Doug Bowser as the vice president of U.S. sales.
So he's clearly Japanese. Oh, it says U.S. sales. Okay.
Yeah.
which means that he would never touch anything at all because, I mean, you don't see anybody except for Reggie touch anything at Nintendo USA.
You know what? Objectively, Doug Bowser's a pretty sweet name.
Yeah. Oh, no. It totally is.
I would totally have the Bowser theme from Mario 64 play everywhere I go.
He sounds like he could be a private detective.
Doug Bowser.
Doug Bowser. Doug
he kind of looks like a private detective. He looks like he could have been like a hard police officer before this.
Like, does he look like he could be a vice president?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I'd be scared of him.
No, he looks like a vice principal.
Send the link. I'm just gonna type in Doug Bowser and see what comes up.
Yeah. There you go.
Doug Bowser, private eye.
Doug Bowser. The great Koopa Caper. Holy crap, he doesn't like Koopa! From the movie!
Oh, from the movie?
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Slap some blonde braids on him and he looks just like it.
Maybe that's how he'll go to E3 this year. He'll hit the stage with some blonde... Well, he needs hair first.
He's not going to hit the stage because he's going to be in that flying clown mask.
Yeah, right?
So we don't have any strange news, right?
Yeah, no.
So then what are we moving on to? Into the West?
No, it is time to move on to our finish of the week.
We have another one? It better be more Japan than last time.
So this one...
God damn it.
This one's actually is going to be pretty short, but there's been this ongoing trend that has been really weird that has been catching the eye of the Japanese internet. Which is finding cute girls in random places. And in the past, we've seen, like, this Chinese school teacher who's been taking selfies, who took the Japanese internet by storm. There was a Japanese Olympic badminton player who was a world champion, and she's adorable, and everybody was like, yeah, woo, that's awesome. Even there was a trend when female butchers took the scene, and they started doing, like, news articles on really cute female butchers.
Hey, what's not sexy about a woman who knows how to handle meat?
Right? All right. So this new trend that has actually started gaining fan art across Pixiv and then some, you know, manga fan art that's been happening. There was a news report recently about a arsonist who held a bank hostage. He put lighter fluid all over the counters and said, if you don't give me any money, I'm going to light this place on fire.
Lighter fluid burns up really quick anyway.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
But the counters are granite, sir.
Yeah. Well, anyways, there was a police standoff, and it hit the news. And in the live action, you know, the whole live coverage of it, they were showing some bank tellers that had gotten out. And there was this really adorable bank teller on the side of the road who had this concerned look on her face that took the internet's heart by storm. Like, she was just so cute and gorgeous, sitting there all concerned about her bank about to be on fire, that it spawned fan arts and, like, manga movie posters and all this stuff that I don't even know what to think anymore. It's just...
Japan is so weird.
Yeah, they are. But it's like, oh, look at that girl. She is scared.
Yeah.
She thought she was going to be lit on fire.
It's like one of those I must draw you situations, you know.
Look at that bank teller.
Jeez.
And that was Japan's Fetish of the Week.
Oop. Wrong one. Yeah, there we go.
Actually, that works a little bit for the
fetish. Yeah, the lift kind of helps.
You're right. The beginning of Into the West actually does work very well for Fetish of the Week.
Interesting.
The horse, on the other hand, may take too fucking long.
Maybe just like every single like sound clip that we use for the show should just be a whip sound. Time for Fetish of the Week. Time for Into the West. Time for Strange News.
So what's next?
I don't know. What is Fetish Into the West?
Into the West actually comes from our fan Scott.
Yeah.
So Wicked Fan Scott says, "Hey, I have this cool concept for you for a parody internet video."
Oh, I know this.
Yeah. So, hang on.
So this is that internet video. Is this that YouTube video?
Yeah. So he sent us in a YouTube video called Senpai Club.
Yeah.
Now, it's this thing that is just... it's some very decent arms level animation done by, you know, anime fans. But it's like a parody, like a mockery of animation. It's like a tropey trope anime, the anime.
Yeah.
It's all weeaboo stuff. Yeah, and it's so funny. And it's in Japanese, like heavy air quotes around Japanese, because they're like just saying like random weeaboo Japanese terms over and over and over again, but the subtitles are different every time.
The way what I caught from it is the way that they speak in Japanese is kind of like, you know, when you took Spanish in high school and they only taught you to say like puedo ir al baño, like where is the bathroom. It's kind of like that very simplistic Japanese that they use throughout the entire cartoon.
And then, like, they mix it, like, when the characters are talking, they'll mix in, like, English words but make it sound Japanese. Like, nonde desu ka, nonde desu, bitch horror. Like, make it sound Japanese, but they just said bitch horror. Like, it was, like, so funny.
I thought that it was funny that they had the Japanese advertising after the make a baby.
Yeah, make a babies. It's really funny. You should really, if you appreciate the humor, some people won't appreciate the humor and just be like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But if you appreciate the humor, it's actually very funny. But the concept behind it is like this, you know, oh, high school girl, like, oh, and then she runs into Senpai. Oh, and it's like beautiful men everywhere, but like the men are drawn so crudely and gross. It's kind of like DeviantArt the show.
Yeah.
So like how amateur anime fans will draw anime characters with like incredibly pointed chins and really crudely drawn faces. That's what all the men in the show look like.
Yeah, but all the girls look all right. Like, yeah, they look decent.
No, it's really funny. I recommend it because it's funny.
Yeah,
we'll
put it in the description for you to watch the first episode.
So technically, it is an internet anime, but it is done by Western Group, so that is an Into the West Senpai Club. It's very funny. And that was Into the West.
All right. So what do we have next? I guess it's time for what we're watching.
Yeah, and I actually have a bunch of answers this time around.
Yeah, so do I, and one that everybody is going to be super happy about. First off, hey, we started watching Sword Art Online.
Yeah, John and I finally started watching Sword Art Online, so finally we got that ball rolling.
How far in are you?
2 episodes.
Yeah, okay. But we watched the first 2 episodes
yesterday.
Yeah, gotcha. And we watched it on Netflix, and it was started off in English. I had actually seen the first episode in Japanese, so I was like, yeah, I'll watch it in English, see what it's like. And for the most part, the English is pretty good. I was really not super impressed with Bryce Papenbrook as the main character, though.
No.
It sounded like he was trying too hard.
Like, trying way too hard. Yeah. Like, almost like a 4Kids actor does, like the way the 4Kids actors sound, like really intense all the time to make it sound like they're acting.
He's got this voice,
which
I don't like. Just use your regular voice.
Yeah, just talk. Like, just talk, sound like a normal person. It's fine. He got better, obviously, when Attack on Titan came around.
Yeah, he was
really getting more. He's getting more comfortable with it. But I think Sword Art Online was his really big, like his first big role.
It was. Before that, he did what? Aiken?
Aiken. He did
that. Right. That boob OVA.
Yeah. So that was cool, but I'm gonna continue watching it on Crunchyroll because I want to watch it in Japanese. And then for me anyway, what I've been watching is now I am joining Dylan and I am joining Jonathan. I am watching Food Wars.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. I need to join you guys
too. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll like it, Glitch.
Yeah, if it's any sort of advocate for the fact that Jonathan started watching it and said, you guys need to watch this, and then Dylan started watching it and was like, I really love it, it's really funny. Now I'm watching it, and I watched the first 8 episodes in less than 2 days. Like, I ran right through because I couldn't stop watching it. It was so good. And we always talk about main characters and how...
Which ones we like and which ones
we don't like. Yeah, and which ones we don't like. This is a prime example of a shonen character that I really, really like.
Yeah, he's really not annoying at all. And, like, one thing that I like about him, too, is he almost is, like, in the way that Sherlock Holmes just, like, does stuff and, like, and then explains, oh, I knew how to do this because of this, and I'm, like, a badass. He's sort of the same way, but as a chef.
But it's really interesting, too, because he still works as... the main character of a hero's journey, because he doesn't know the professional terms of things, so when somebody says, oh, we're gonna do this, he's like, what's that? And then they explain it to him, and then he's like, oh, I know what that is, I do it all the time, I just never knew it was called that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a really interesting take on a main character, and it works.
Yeah, and I would be okay, like, this is an anime that has the potential of being the next Evolution anime, which, you know, goes along with Naruto, One Piece, Dragon Ball Z, you know, just goes on forever.
Yeah.
And I would be okay with that. I will stick with this anime if it continues on the path.
Is this a shonen manga as well?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a shonen genre, but I don't know if it's a shonen jump, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
It is definitely a shonen manga, though. And one of the things that I'm really liking is, obviously, like, once again, you know, bringing up an anime, oh, there has to be a relationship involved with one of the girls, but they kind of gave it a purpose in this one, where it's not just like, oh, I guess we kiss now kind of a thing, his father explains at one point the secret to cooking. This isn't a spoiler or anything, because it comes up pretty casually.
Pretty sure in the first episode.
Yeah, but he says the secret to cooking is finding a woman that you will love cooking for. Like, that is the secret to cooking. And that
makes some sense.
Yeah, and, like, it's not pure skill, it's not how long you've been cooking, it's finding someone you love, a woman that you love to cook for. So, he's surrounded by all these girls at this school... it's gonna be like, well, Megumi is the canon one, obviously, but then you have
Nikumi, the meat girl, and then you have the main villainess, you know, who... Like, it's gonna be, like, one of those shipping animes that fans go nuts shipping characters all over the place.
I'm already on board for him and Megumi. They just work so perfectly as...
Megumi's the girl with the blue hair?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. She's wicked cute. They made her adorable. Yeah. Like, she's awesome.
And her character works. She's like the coward... She's like a coward, but she can hold her own, and it works as a co-pilot for Soma as the main character.
Yeah, she's a very good assistant to him. Like, she can't like cook anything really great on her own, but
she's wicked smart.
Yeah, but when she assists Soma, it's perfect. Like, she does her job and she doesn't mess up. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the feeling that it's gonna go more towards the. I guess the chick that you said was the villainess. I forget a lot of the names, but the girl
Arena.
With yeah, the orange hair. That's like the one of the like top 10.
Yep.
Oh yeah, she has the god tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Arena.
Yeah.
It is gonna lean towards that way, but I think if they're going to go that route as far as a love story goes, they're probably gonna push Megumi. But it's also kind of funny because Nikumi, the girl who is the meat expert, she is already has a crush on him, as you can tell after the whole thing went down. No spoilers, but like she was a villain, but now she's kind of an ally in that
sort of
sense.
Doesn't every character have a crush on the main character in an anime at the time?
No, not really. Not the way that this one is going. This one is interesting because you have Megumi, who's not in love with him at all yet, but that's the main character they're going for. There's the villain and the main character, who they're two sides of the same coin, and that's what they're and that's how they're going to be involved. And then there's the character who's already in love, but the main character doesn't see it. Which is another thing that I think is absolutely hilarious about that show is everybody in that school hates him, but he's so oblivious to it. Like, that was that makes me laugh every single time. It was, the show is perfect. It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the most current episode, episode 9, last night, and it was still just really good. They introduced really great rival characters.
Yeah, yeah, the Italian twins.
Yep,
they're really good.
Yeah, they are really good.
Yeah,
and that's all I'm gonna say about Food Wars. But I highly recommend it. Everybody should be watching Food Wars. It's gonna be probably one of the biggest ones to come out this season of anime. So along with my normal watching of Danmachi and Edotama. I also bought the newest manga to Black Lagoon after 3 years of Black Lagoon not coming out. And I must say, if you are a Black Lagoon fan, which obviously I am, I always have considered Black Lagoon to be one of my favorite animes ever. It's one of the only mangas that I've ever bought, have to buy the manga for. Like, I have the entire set of Black Lagoon. Read it, because it is the same... thing that you remember it being, same writing. Ray Hiro is the artist and writer of it. Is still probably one of the best artists. He's an amazing artist, an incredible artist. Black Lagoon forever. Go volume 10 was perfect. I finished reading it today. It was so good. Love Black Lagoon.
I actually watched an anime this time.
Go for it, Glitch.
Gargantuan on the Virtuous Planet.
Heck yeah, Gargantia. So kind of like Food Wars, I started watching Gargantia. So me and Sean were watching Gargantia at the same time. Now Glitch is on Gargantia.
I actually seen the first episode way back when, and it's one of those times where it's like seeing a trailer for a certain movie. You're like, I want to see that movie when it comes out. Then life gets in the way, and you completely forget about it until someone says, hey, remember? Hey, I'm watching this. You want to watch this with me? I've remember seeing that, and where have I seen it? Oh shit! I planned to watch this entire time.
Yeah, right.
I'm loving it so far. Yeah. I'm on episode 5 right now.
See, that's one of those animes that if because I like to collect figurines, but I don't really have the budget for it now. If I find a figurine for Gargantia, I buy it. I have so many rare figurines that aren't sold anymore for Gargantia because I love the character designs, which is something we'll bring up later. Interesting.
Food Wars as well, but we already talked a pretty good portion about that.
Food puns.
That was corny.
Danmachi, or is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon?
Yep.
And I still really like that show, too, because the last two episodes, you finally got to see Belle actually, be a badass.
Yeah. I guess so. But I'm still having the worst time, seeing him as an actual badass.
Well, he's like, yeah, I get what you say. Like, his personality outside the dungeon is, like, still very much sort of, like, cowardly and shy.
Bitch.
But, like, now when he's in the dungeon, more and more he's, like, becoming a stronger person.
Yeah.
But
Firebolto. Yeah, Firebolto.
The one thing I actually don't like about the show, which I forgot to talk about the last time I mentioned it, was the girl that Belle likes, the main character likes, Eyes, I think her
Eyes.
Name is,
yeah.
Eyes-sama, is, like, to me, one of the most lifeless characters on that show.
Well, and that's the whole point. I mean,
I know, but she's just not entertaining to me. There's another reason that I'll get into later on when we get into the Tapagotchi, but she all of the other female characters on the show are so colorful and animated, and she is so incredibly deadpan and lifeless.
Yeah, yeah. She is just a shell. Like, well, that is absolutely true.
See, but I wonder if they're doing that on purpose so that you're kind of on the side of everybody else in the show. Like, they're kind of making you, like, wonder why. Well, why does Belle like her?
Yeah.
Like, and that's, like, I wonder if they designed her that way so that you think that, so every other girl is more appealing.
So that you won't be on his side for saying, yeah, you should go for Eyes. Instead, you'll say, Belle, stop being an idiot, just go for Hestia.
Or go for, like, his little assistant who likes him too.
And no then, way.
No,
yeah.
And then
no way.
She's, well, not the cat girl, Andrew. Not the cat girl.
No, and then there's the, his,
the waitress.
His guild informant.
Actually like the guild informer.
Yeah, she's cool, but she, like, really likes him, which is, like, so weird. But she's one of those, like, yeah, I'll help you fall in love with the other girl, but,
right.
Like, she's totally not into it.
Yeah, she's the wingman.
And then there's the girl at the bar.
Yeah,
you know, she's got nothing, though, honestly.
Aww.
No, I'm just saying that, like, she doesn't turn up enough in the show to even be considered on the radar.
Yeah, sure she is.
I don't know. I think that I still think that she has something to do with the main villain because they look awfully similar.
I know. But now how about this? One of the questions that they raise is the elf girl who also works at the bar, who has the blonde hair and used to be the adventurer as well.
Yeah.
They're throwing her into the mix too.
Because why not?
I guess so, but
they,
like,
need somebody with pointy ears.
But the elf, the guild, his guild assistant has pointy ears.
Oh yeah, that's true.
She's an elf, or she's a half elf, I think. Yeah.
There, my hope is that Eyes-sama, whatever her name is, the chick that I was talking about. I hope that, like, and I hope that we get more of her story, and I'm pretty sure that we will, because when she was training Belle was like, "There's somebody I, like, want to be." As strong as, and he was talking about her, and then she said, like, me too, but I don't think we've learned who she's talking about yet.
I don't think so either. Unless I'm pretty sure she might be talking about Belle.
Yeah.
I don't know, because she's already stronger than Belle, like, unless she was talking about, like, his spirit, or, like,
in
I don't know.
Amount of strength, yes, she is stronger than him, but in other characteristics, we've yet to find out.
Yeah. I mean, that is my own one qualm with the show. The rest of it's still a really good show.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying the show, and, you know, Hestia is still exploding the internet like a crazy person.
Yeah, I found a new Google theme where it's actually animated and she's jumping now.
Oh, those Google themes, man.
Yeah, I need to get one.
So, for this episode, our Tapagotchi is going to be about character design.
Yes, this was a topic that was suggested to us again by Wicked Fan Scott.
Yeah,
Scott comes up with some really good topics.
Yeah, Scott, you've been throwing us lots of topics, and we've been really, really liking them. So keep that up, man. But hey, that's a shout out to all you other fans. If you guys want to hear us talk about specific things,
or how awesome you are,
because we have had other fans share topics with us before, and we've talked about them. But you guys know what you want to hear us talk about, so let us know what you want to talk about us to talk about, because we have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
So character design. The way this came up was Scott said, "Remember when you guys were talking about?" Buying figurines, specifically me, because I buy a lot of figurines. Remember when Andrew was talking about his buying Miku, the append version of Miku? He said he bought it, he said I bought it, you know, I bought it because I didn't necessarily have a whole Vocaloid obsession, but I really love Cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. So I bought the Miku figurine because, one, Miku's a really cool design, but so is Cyberpunk. Mix Miku and Cyberpunk together, and I have a perfect figurine for me.
Hmm. And he said, I feel that way a lot too, that character design will make characters so much more appealing on their own merit. So he wants us to hear us talk about that. What makes a character design appealing, and are you attracted to things strictly because of character design?
Interesting. Yeah, and yes, by the way, yes, the answer is absolutely, you know, character design itself. And we've talked about this before. I'll watch shows just by based on the art.
Yep.
Like, I love any of the character designs that Studio Trigger comes out with. I mean, don't get me, I'm a fanboy, so I'm kind of biased in this, but yeah, like anything like that. However, there was something that was extremely interesting that came up with character design, and it was...
It's almost like they knew we were going to talk about
This new show that's coming out called Bikini Warriors.
Yeah, we posted the news article for it on our Facebook. Some of you took notice of it.
So what's really interesting about this show is that the characters are... There are six characters in the show. It's a short anime that's coming out next season for the summer anime, and it's like a 3-minute short. Every character in the show is designed by a different artist.
Not just a different artist.
And, well, yeah. Most of them are hentai artists.
Yeah.
We get to see their specialties and fetishes.
Yeah, exactly. So each character, if you go to the website for the show, the description itself even says, don't come to the show looking for plot, because you're not going to find it. We know you're going to watch the show because of boobs. And it's absolutely true, because, I mean, there's no other point to it. There's no use in hiding it, and that is a very interesting marketing strategy. First off, all the characters' names are just... Their names are their class. So you have Fighter, Paladin, Valkyrie, Hunter, Mage, and Dark Elf. First off, the Fighter...
Wait, no Rogue?
Yeah, right. No, because they're hidden in cloaks. You can't find boobs in a Rogue.
She could be wearing sure a one-piece swimsuit instead.
Yeah, right.
A hooded one-piece swimsuit.
Well, she would be a bikini warrior then.
That is what this is missing, Dylan. I am on board with your characters. So first up, Fighter. The character artist that they got is Hisashi. He's a hentai artist, and he is my favorite. Just, like, I love his artwork. Seriously. He is a gorgeous character designer, and, like, sharp eyes, sharp angles, and really good rendering, too. Next up is the paladin, Onigiri-kun, who is the character designer for Beat Angel Escalaire. Is that a hentai?
I have no idea.
I don't think it is. I honestly don't think that
Angel Blade is a hentai, but that's not
it. It depends on who you talk to. It could be.
Maybe. I don't know. Next up is the Valkyrie, who was designed by Tony Taka, and he is renowned as one of the best hentai artists ever.
Yeah, if anybody is like fan of hentai artists or anything, you've heard of Tony Taka.
Yes.
You have heard of Tony Taka.
Yeah, he did visual novels like Fault, and he has his own art books, his own line of girls that he draws. Really, really good artist. Very, very good artist.
Next up is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, Hunter. The Hunter who wields the bow and arrow is done by Rei Hiroi, who did Black Lagoon.
Yeah, Rei Hiroi. Yay!
How about that?
That's going to be one of the main reasons why. I mean, besides Hisashi, I mean, that's really cool. But, like, heck, I mean, Rei Hiroi, Black Lagoon, I'm all for it. So yeah. Freaking sweet.
Next up is the mage. The artist is Saitome, who did Ninja Slayer, which that goes way back. And this is really interesting because his character design looks nothing like the character designs from Ninja Slayer. It actually looks really moe, like the most moe character with the really big eyes.
But it's weird because it's like the loli character with a loli, a big boob loli. And
yeah, right. She's like
weird.
She's like triple D cup.
Lowly,
but she looks way too young. And then finally we have the Dark Elf. Who is done by Odanon.
Yeah, Odanon.
Who is known for surprise Queen's Blade. Yeah. Queen's Blade Rebellion. Like
one of the most famous girl
fight. This whole
fight
series show reminds me of Queen's Blade.
Yeah, exactly. Which I wouldn't have been surprised if the entire series was taken off of.
But it's super hilarious because, like, every character in the show looks different. Like, it looks like they've been designed by a different
character. They do. They look completely different. So what I'm wondering is when I watch the show, when they interact with each other, is it like I'm going to be watching six different shows all at the same time? And that goes...
Who cares about plot?
Yeah, that's my... I didn't see in the article, but is it going to be animated by six different people? Like, each character is animated by the, like...
Usually when stuff like this goes down, I believe the answer is no. It's all going to be animated by the same studio.
That's what I figured.
But everybody's going to have the design of the character. So they're going to have to copy the design of that character, or of that artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's because usually there's, for any show, there's one appointed character artist. And for a series, if you have a character artist, that's your only job. So this is a really interesting experiment as to how this is actually going to work. It's almost like an experimental anime altogether. Not focusing on plot, focusing on character design, which is probably one of the, you know, biggest parts of anime itself. Like, even beyond animation, if you don't have good character design, then, you know, the show kind of falls flat.
I am so excited for Hunter. Like, that is, like, the coolest thing ever that Ray Hero is on it.
Yeah, so, elements of character design. What do you guys look for when you are interested in a character? Be it a character trait, or an emotion that they evoke, or if it's a piece of clothing that they wear.
Well, I usually don't get into, like, an anime just specifically for character design. It's usually, like you said, like, just the art, like, the overall art. If I think mm-hmm. that's cool, then I'll probably get into it. It doesn't really have much to do with the way the characters look, but, like,
right.
I mean, as we've stated before, it's just, as long as the character is not annoying, it's fine with me.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Because, see, that's a really interesting, because, like, when I look at character designs, I actually, like, it does have to do with the whole art, but I think character design actually does go into it, because I'll look at, you know, costume designs of a character and say, that character is cool, you know? Like, for example, when I was talking about Studio Trigger earlier, I really like Studio Trigger's character designs, especially because they put emphasis on certain pieces of clothing. Like, for example, Ryuko Matoi from Kill la Kill. She's got those oversized weapons, you know, like the scissor blade, which is just a cool character design to begin with. Weapons, like, obscure weapons, awesome.
Yeah.
Totally awesome.
Trigger usually goes with oversized everything.
Yeah.
So.
Especially characters. Like, I mean, but one of my most favorite things about Ryuko in particular is her sneakers. Have you ever noticed that her sneakers are really big? Like, and for some reason, I just like big footwear. Like, in Space Dandy has those really big boots that he wears. You know, those really obnoxiously big.
Yeah, I like his boots. They have, like, a metal steel toe on the outside.
Yeah. And then the other design that I saw, too, was Yoko from Gurren Lagann. She's got those boots with zippers that are almost as big as the heel of the boot themselves. Things like that are really cool to me. I don't know why. It's one of the reasons why JoJo's Bizarre Adventure has such cool character designs, because they have, like, these huge chains that they wear.
Yeah,
JoJo,
what
wears,
does it do?
Yeah, JoJo wears, like, 3 or 4 belts around his waist. Why?
It restricts his power. That's why.
Yeah, right?
Because he doesn't know how to buy pants, clearly.
Yeah. He can't buy pants for himself, so he just buys a whole bunch of belts.
I don't know, 46 waists. Yeah. Oh no, it's too big.
Another thing that I go crazy for, I don't know why, pink hair. I love pink hair. I don't know why. It's one of those things that I just can't help it. I like pink hair.
So a pink-haired, big-footed gal for you, huh?
Speaking to what you were just sort of talking about with Trigger, the character designs that I really like typically come from, like, Bones or, like, Bone style.
Mm.
The way they look, I really like those characters. The character artist that worked on Eureka 7 worked on a more recent Gundam show, I think I talked about, but I stopped watching because the main character is just so annoying.
Isn't that kind of typical for Gundam?
No, they're they're not always annoying. I mean, yeah, maybe, like, a good portion of them are, yes. But one thing that I noticed when you brought this topic up, and I was starting to think about, like, my favorite animes and thinking about the way the characters look, an odd thing that I discovered is a lot of them wear either red clothing or have red hair.
Yeah.
Like, Trigun. What else do I have up here? Renton, his jacket is, like, a red color.
Yeah.
Naruto is orange.
Goku is orange. You can do out orange.
Yeah.
I really like just like the character designs in Naruto anyway. Like I don't know, something about the just all the
they're
different
all unique.
Kinds. Yeah,
like, yeah.
But that's how I feel, like they're unique and they meet their personalities. Well, it's not kind of just the same thing.
Because I really like ninja designs anyway, so the fact that there's so many different kinds of ninja designs in that show is great.
Yeah, and like Eureka 7 has like a great ensemble cast of characters that all look very unique and different.
I guess that's kind of what goes into an interesting character design, is making sure that all your characters are unique enough to pull in your audience, because that way you can expand, you know, how many characters there are to focus on.
Well, because I know that I've done this before, just like I did with the Vocaloid figurine that we discussed that kind of launched this topic, was I've bought figurines from shows that I haven't seen before just because I like the design of that character. You know, I like the way it looks, but I haven't seen that show. People are like, why are you doing that? You're not even a fan. I was like, I don't care. Look at it. It's beautiful, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why I really like it when I find figurines that are original art that don't belong to a property. So you buy a cool anime-looking figurine that just has a great design to it. Generally, they are like a female that is, I don't know, some of them have trench coats, some of them look like ninjas. I have just crap tons of original figurines. Pretty neat. Cat girls.
Yeah, of course, there's plenty of those. What you need to do is 3D print just a bunch of tiny cat ears that you can just put on all of your figurines.
Yeah, that would be so awesome. Man, yeah, now that I think about it, 3D printing would make kit bashing so much easier.
Yeah, it would. Well, it would be... It might not be cheaper because it would to get a nice enough printer that can print out a decent resolution, but
yeah,
that's not really what we're talking about.
that was a little aside. Anyway, no, but I actually discussed this a little while ago. I haven't even met the character yet, but I know that I'm probably going to be appealing. And Sean even agreed. Sean was like, "This character is designed for you, Andrew." Was Shion from Sword Art Online 2.
Yep.
People are already kind of predicting, oh, Andrew's going to love that character when he gets to it. And they're kind of right. Like, I already loved the design of the character, so I'm actually really excited to catch up to that point where I actually get to meet that character.
But what is it about her that you like?
The ears.
oh, you're talking about the catgirl design of that. No, but even before I even knew that even came up, you know, the blue hair is cool. Because if you noticed, like, my Monster Hunter Rio has blue hair. A bunch of my character designs before her that I've drawn have blue hair. Like, I don't know, blue hair characters.
I am interested to see what you think about her, because with Sword Art Online, you get, like, different character designs for each character because of the different MMO games. So, like,
yeah.
Shinon mm-hmm. looks a lot different outside of the game than she does inside mm-hmm. of, like, Gun Gale, which is, I think, what the design you're talking about right now.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, right. Which is actually something I'm really excited to find out, believe it or not, is how that translates. So I think that's going to be really cool. But I really like the military getup that she's in. I think that's really cool. Girls with guns is never a bad thing. Like, that's one of the reasons why I really love Black Lagoon. If you want to go character design wise, just look in Black Lagoon. Everybody from Black Lagoon is right up my alley. Every single character, because they're, you know, they're all really gangster-licious, very
gangster-licious, you
know, gangster-licious.
Wow.
You know, Revy has those cool shorty shorts and the tank top that goes along with, you know, her wearing her gun holsters all the time. It's really sweet.
Speaking of Gangstalicious, I saw that Japan now has a website where you can buy gangster clothing.
Like, are you talking about, like, 1930s gangster or, like, thug gangster?
Like, thug gangster. Like if you want to buy Yakuza garb, there's a website for it. It's called Birth Japan.
Really?
Yeah. And you can buy, like, leather, like, snake leather trench coats or snakeskin trench coats.
Can you buy, like, high school delinquent clothes?
I don't know. Maybe.
BirthJapan.com.
I would love some high school delinquent clothes. That would be awesome.
I don't know, man.
Does it come with a pompadour wig?
Yeah.
Do you even pompadour, bro?
Man, I'm trying to look up some stuff for Japanese color theory. See what the difference in meaning to characters are, because, you know, we have, like, American color theory, but that they're all completely different.
Yeah, one thing I noticed going back to, like, what I said about a lot of the main characters in shows that I like have, like, red associated with them or orange, there's usually in the show, like, either a love interest or an antagonist that their, like, defining color is blue. So, like, yep. Naruto, which are complementary colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, Renton and Eureka, Eureka's usually, like, bluish-green colors. Renton is, he's got the red on his jacket. So yep. they already go together, Naruto and Sasuke. I don't know if I mentioned that one already.
See, I'm thinking about it constantly now, and that makes a lot of sense.
It makes me want to like look into other animes where I might have missed that. Because when you look at that kind of stuff, sometimes it just goes right over your head. You're just watching it, you know, for the enjoyment, but you're not really analyzing it because it's all very subconscious.
Yeah, you just subconsciously are like, this goes together, but you don't consciously know, oh, it's because they look, or they're using this color, or they look this way.
Here's an interesting start. Japanese color theory is based around natural elements with the five main colors in Japanese art is blue for wood, red for fire, yellow for earth, white for metal, and black for water. I don't know if that helps.
Another one is Outlaw Star. Jean has red hair and Melfina wears blue clothing.
Which is another really great design. One of my favorite anime chicks, Faye Valentine. Like, that getup that she's wearing all the time.
Yeah, yellow and blue. Those are complementary colors.
Yep.
You just like sexy clothing.
I do. Well, I mean...
Who does?
It's not even really the...
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, you're not right. You're not wrong.
Don't get me wrong. You're not right.
but it's not even, like, the sexy clothing aspect to it. It's the complicated outfit that they're wearing. Like, the complicated outfit, yeah, it might be sexy, but, like, they're wearing so many different layers on top of one another that it creates, like, a depth to, okay. like... To like a depth to the detail.
She's not wearing that many layers though. She's wearing like yellow spandex swimsuit almost, and then suspenders.
But it's like, but she's wearing like a shirt, kind of like a tank top underneath that, an overcoat with long sleeves that's short. So you have like, you know, the midriff, or she's wearing a midriff that is connected to suspenders. What are those suspenders holding up? Well, they're holding up her like hot pants, and then she's wearing those long thigh high nylons with her white boots. I don't know, it's just, like, the layers to how, like, that attention to detail, you know, like, how her outfit goes together to make, like, this complicated outfit that really isn't all that necessary, but it makes it interesting.
And now we're getting into kind of a topic of Gebel.
Yeah.
Which is what made Star Wars so interesting. If you look at all the spaceships and stuff like that, they have all these things and pieces on them that have zero function whatsoever, but it tricks your brain into thinking that it does have a certain function. And that's kind of what the same thing, like we were talking about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, where everybody has such complicated costumes. They serve no purpose, but it looks cool, so it tricks your brain into thinking, wow, their costume is, like, really awesome and important.
Because if you kind of think about it, like, one of my favorite animation studios ever, Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. You look at, like, the DC animated stuff, and they animate the characters to be very simple to animate. You know, no complicated lines, the costumes are very simple, usually two solid colors to create a costume, and then a skin tone on top of that to wherever the skin is showing, so that it's really easy to animate, and you can animate a lot. But then you have things like anime where they choose to go complicated costumes to show more detail and make it more interesting that way.
One of my favorite costumes that has a lot of Gebel is Grave from Gungrave.
Yes.
It's actually kind of funny because the uniform that I'm talking about, he doesn't wear until later in the series. And up until that point, he's worn nothing but like regular clothing. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to wear like a crazy costume that no one would actually wear in real life.
It's another thing, a trend in anime. Is military clothing, and it's actually kind of interesting because military clothing is something that that everybody is pretty used to seeing, right? So,
yeah.
So when you look at military clothing in an anime, it kind of goes over your head. But if you pay attention to the military clothing that they're drawing in anime, it's very incredibly complicated. Like from their collar, if you just look at the collars, like around their necks, like even if you look at Full Metal Alchemist. You know, like, they have, like, heightened collars with a bunch of different designs on them, down into their trench coats where they're wearing their badges and, like, tons of pockets and buttons. I don't know if that's, like, keeps your brain interested, like, that's so interesting to the eye.
You know, I think that kind of
contributes to the fact that they don't have as many animation frames as we do either is because they put so much detail into their characters that they spend a lot of time redrawing their costumes and not,
oh, yeah, absolutely,
not making frames. And in the same respect that you said, you know, Justice League, their costumes are so simple and they're actually all the same exact basic form.
Yeah.
Well, nobody has the same exact copy and paste basic form in anime. They're all completely unique and different. You can even find,
I like the anime so much.
Yeah, you can even find height charts of characters in anime, whereas everybody in, like, say, Justice League Unlimited, same exact height.
Yeah.
Fullmetal Alchemist is another one where main character has a red coat and a lot of other characters wear blue.
Yeah, even Al. Al is the shade of blue, like his brother.
Yeah. Well, see, that's an interesting thing, too, because even Ed's allies are wearing blue. Like, he's wearing red, and he chooses to wear red. He's a state alchemist, but all the state alchemists have to wear blue.
Blue. And his, the armor, even though it's, like, supposed to be gray, it's, like, a bluish gray.
This entire conversation, I've been looking up Japanese color theory, and I can't find anything besides those elements that I found earlier.
I don't know if you were going to get into designs that you don't like, but recently, reason why I don't like eyes from Danmachi, or is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon, mm-hmm. is I don't understand her armor, because
she wears a very weird chest plate,
and, like, female chest plates are always, like, because they're either, like, very revealing, or, like, they don't make sense and would be very uncomfortable. Hers almost would make sense, but, like, her right boob, the underneath part of it is exposed, which doesn't make any sense to me, because she's wearing clothing underneath, so it's not like a fan service thing.
Yeah,
it's like they just ran out of metal.
Yeah. So, sorry, the blacksmith had trouble with this one. He got your measurements wrong.
Yeah, it's like they just wanted to, like, create asymmetry for asymmetry's sake.
Yeah.
Like, to make her look more interesting, but it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's really funny that you mentioned that, because I have noticed that as well, and it kind of bothers me.
It bothers me, too. I absolutely have noticed that while watching the show, and just, like, the fact that it's like, if you're going to show us some underboob, give us some underboob.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, and it's just the one side, too. It's not, like, both of... Even if it was both of them, I'd still be like, okay, that's, like... That would be more fan service-y, I guess, but, like,
yeah.
I would like that better than just... It, like,
Dude, being
functional on one side and then being just weird on the other.
Here's the interesting thing, too.
Who doesn't like underboob? Underboob is like a...
But she's wearing a shirt underneath still. It's not even, like, actual underboob.
Except for that one time where she actually... The second time that she saved Belle.
Yes, okay,
That piece of clothing was ripped.
She was really beat up, so she had her clothes torn apart. But that was, like, a single gag.
Even still, like, that kind of, like, it shows the flaw in her armor, which is, like, an interesting thing to begin with. This goes for all character design when it comes to medieval garb, when they talk about, or when they give characters, like, especially female characters, like, the boob armor. It's even the same thing for male chest plates whenever they give them the sculpted chest plate. That's a really terrible armor design because when you have the slopes, that if a sword hits it, it's going to slide into the middle and just go right through the armor.
No, well with women, if they have a metal chest piece that's actually round and, like, cups the breast, if they fall, they're going to break their sternum.
Yeah,
because it's basically a metal thing pointing
right there,
into their chest.
Yeah. I mean, that's always such an interesting debate. Like, people still continue to do that to this day with their armor designs, and they just don't care.
It really just comes down to, like, does it look better, or do I want to make it, like, actual, like,
practical,
like realistically?
Yeah, and I think that... the one, if I'm remembering correctly, the one that did it correct was Berserk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Casca's armor?
Yeah, or any of the characters, to be honest. All of their characters are based on actual armors, I think. They have, like, just rounded plates. They don't have the actual breasts carved out. They're actually rounded, and they're curved outward, so that if they were to be hit by a sword, it would be deflected off to the side.
Yeah.
Which is actually correct, and, you know, meant to be correct armor.
I like designs that are practical.
I
really do.
Just
simple and practical.
Yeah, I think practical designs are cool, because it actually proves competency, and that's another interesting thing too. You know, you can go for sexy, which, you know, you get the sex appeal, which is fine, but if you go for practical, it actually shows competency, and when you see competency, you're like, hey, I want to watch that too.
Like, I care about that character more. Like, cool, she has tits. Next.
Yeah, for Berserk, you know, it kind of falls short because you see everybody naked in that show at least once.
Yeah, it's very very Game of Thrones-y.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a good comparison. Berserk is kind of like the Game of Thrones.
Except I think I might like Berserk better. It's more disturbing. I don't know. Game of Thrones is pretty disturbing at times, but it's disturbing in like a different way.
I guess that's why I like a lot of the Naruto designs too, because most of that stuff is used by the character.
Yeah, like
that's
their little pouches and stuff.
Yeah, like Rock Lee has those. When you look at Rock Lee's costume, you think, what are those stupid things on his feet, but it was actually ankle weights that if he takes off, he gets even better.
Yeah,
and it was the same thing with Kenpachi from Bleach, where he wears an eye patch so that he's only... Mm-hmm. Oh, and he wears the bells on his hair so that people can hear him coming. And then he wears the eye patch, and if he takes it off, he's like, oh, now I can see with both eyes. What are you going to do about it now?
Why?
He restricts his power so he doesn't kill everybody. Like, at least it has a practical effect for it. You know?
It's like Futurama. Hold still, damn it. I don't have good depth perception. the very first episode with Leela.
I'm looking at all my favorite Street Fighter characters, too. Which is an interesting concept because when you look at it from a fighting game perspective, you go into a fighting game and there's not a huge amount of story. So what do you choose a character for? You choose them because you like the way they look.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe eventually you'll learn how a character, how they play. But that is my main thing is when I go into a fighting game, I choose a character based on the way they look. That's why my favorite characters are like Juri, Sakura, Tekken, Asuka, Lily. Jun, go for a badass chick who can kick some butt.
That actually brought up another thing when you were looking through those characters. I like the character design, especially or with females, that when they have when they wear skirts, but underneath they wear spats.
You know,
like the biker shorts, those tight biker shorts. Mm-hmm. I think I like that because it's a little bit more modest. You know, they still have the mini skirt thing going on, but there's a little bit more modesty under that. And it's interesting because I like modesty. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, like
Don't get me wrong. I like the sexy character designs, but I also don't mind the modesty either. So that's an interesting take on a look into how we view character design. I hope that was a sufficient. At least a start. Maybe, you know, if we come up with some better ideas, we'll revisit this. But
this is definitely a topic that we can revisit, a lot.
Because there's a lot to cover. There's specific kinds of character design that we could go over. We could get into even specific characters.
Japanese color theory.
Yeah. I mean, we could pick a show and do character design.
Yeah, well, I mean, Scott said that he wanted to do this based on, you know, how I like cyberpunk and I'm drawn to cyberpunk. Well, yeah. We just mentioned that I'm drawn to ninja. I'm drawn to... pirate or gangster,
cat girls,
military.
We could totally
cat girl ninjas.
We could totally do a cat girl thing because there's a whole history behind cat girls.
Oh, good God!
What is there not? There is.
There is.
Cat girls go all the way back to the Edo period.
Yep.
To the pedo period.
Shinto religion. You know, because of the kitsune.
Yep.
Yeah, we could also talk about like certain time skip costume design, like how characters change their costume over time.
We're giving you a bunch of ideas, fans. Make sure you.
What are you talking about? I'm just writing them down.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, tell us which ones you want us to talk about because we'll keep talking about this topic. All of us here are practically designers, so we'll talk about design all.
I don't design Jack.
Well, then three of us here are designers.
You're a cocktail designer.
There needs to be more bartending. Like, Food Wars? Let's go with Bar Wars next. I want bartending.
Is that like the anime Cheers?
I know there's a bartending
Norm Day Sue
manga I've been meaning to get for a long time. And there's also a bartender anime.
So you guys can bring up that topic again if you want. Just let us know. But that's what we're going to touch on for now. So I guess that's gonna have us move on to some fan service.
Yeah, we've been through quite a few fan service things, but what else do we have?
Yeah, so on Twitter, user Anduin, I think that's how you say it. It's either Anduin or Anduin.
Anduin.
They sent us a picture from Japan. They took a trip to Japan, snapped us a picture, and sent us some Kentucky Fried Chicken chips. Mm. So they have chips in.
Wait, they sent you chips?
No, they didn't. They took a picture of them.
Oh, okay.
They sent a photo.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So Kentucky Fried Chicken has a line of chips, or for our UK crisps. They and a whole bunch of different flavors of chicken flavored chips. And he just shot that
sounds amazing.
Yeah, he just shot that our way and was like, "Hey, Wicked Anime, thought you guys would think this was cool. I'm in Japan and you're not, you know," laughing at us.
Yeah.
Running in.
I am so disappointed that I never got to try the Lay's chicken and waffle chips.
You weren't missing much.
I still
wanted to try them.
All right, so next up, we had Gerardo also sent us the release of the new Dragon Ball Z. Is going to coincide with the new Dragon Ball Z manga.
Really?
Yeah, so for those of us who either don't have Hulu Plus and aren't subscribed to Funimation and can't watch Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super that's going to be airing, we can always read the manga version of it.
That's going to be in Hulu Plus?
No. you mean Super, or like the TV show, or the
yeah? Well, you just said for those of us who don't have Hulu Plus, and
well, that was just kind of a guess, but because generally, if it airs on Funimation, it's also gonna air on Hulu.
Okay.
Because all of Funimation shows are on Hulu,
but you need Hulu Plus to watch them.
Yeah, but you need Hulu Plus to watch.
Yeah, I have Hulu Plus. That's why I was asking.
Awesome. Yeah,
Thinking the Geekies has Hulu Plus as well, so I'm down for what Dylan and I watching and reviewing it.
Yeah, heck yeah, that'd be awesome.
How big a DBZ fan are you, Dylan?
I like it. I mean, I liked it when I watched it as a kid. I never finished GT.
I don't think anybody.
You're not missing much. You can't finish GT.
My brother's a far bigger Dragon Ball Z fan than I am, but I like the show.
Well, as it goes, Super is going to pretend that GT never happened.
Okay, well then it's a good thing I never finished it.
Yeah. So next up comes Scott. Of course, Wicked fan Scott sent us
more topics.
Yeah, sent us this topic. But he also for future shows he wants to talk about inspiration, like what animes have inspired us to do things, and situations of awe that we've seen. So inspiration and situations of awe, which we can definitely talk about. I love that topic idea. And then, of course, we have our Wicked fan, Tempsu, or Robert, who sent us over some fan pictures. I guess there's this thing going on 4chan where, you know, Rule 63, where Rule 63, they always make a female version, or a gender swap version of either a male or a female character.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, Shy Guy from the Mario series, you know, the guy who's wearing the cloak and the white mask with no face. Shy Guy has been making some waves on 4chan in his Rule 63 version of him.
But, Shy Girl?
Yeah, with a Shy Girl version. But the thing is, it's this specific artist. I don't know. It's the specific artist made a character design of this Shy Girl, and that was the design that took off. Because there was a whole bunch of different versions of it, but now it's this just one. And of course, it's 4chan, so it leads into Rule 34 stuff as well.
Ah, surprise finish of the week!
And then Adolfo messaged us on Facebook, and he said he wanted to let us know that Vibe magazine, this is specifically for Glitch as well, but Vibe magazine had a piece on Jaden Smith being Static Shock.
Oh, no.
Being what?
Static Shock.
Oh, yeah. I thought I immediately pictured what was Glitch going to think of this.
For Adolfo Glitch, tell us what you think.
Fuck no! That's what I think. That's what I goddamn think.
So who would you cast?
Besides me? I don't know. Honestly, I think I'm a little too old for it now. Like, hashtag Glitch for Static, but... Like, I don't know. Like, it need to be someone newer. I mean, Jaden Smith, honestly, he's not that good an actor to me, or not that funny. Because Virgil and Static Shock are, like, they're basically a black Spider-Man. They're smart asses. They're, you know, they're smart and a smart Alex. So, need to find some kid who's slightly cocky. I mean, Jaden's gotten a little too old, too, or in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could see it being, like, Michael B. Jordan or something like that, to be honest. He's definitely a little too old, though.
But Michael B. Jordan would be a good fit.
Well, and if you want to go for the laughable and spunky and sarcastic, you could always go with Donald Glover, like, who is also pretty old.
Nope.
But but Donald Glover can play off a younger person.
If you dare try to busy making Miles Morales anyway. I can't honestly think of any teen or child actors to be, or that any guy that looks young enough right now. But Jaden, like, I'm sorry, he is not his father. He is not as charismatic. He is not funny, a good actor.
Well, especially after that whole thing of Will Smith saying, "I'm sorry that After Earth happened." He's just like, "I apologize for that movie I made." Oh, boy. So that was all we had for fan service, or at least I think it is. That was all I found over the last 2 weeks. If I missed anything, you can just remind me, folks. So, which moves us on to shameless plugs. Hey! If you guys want to join in on the conversation, of course, you can always email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. Remember, guys, I also said that if you want to suggest topics to us, please do. Tell us what you guys want us to talk about. And if you also want us to go more specifically into character design, let us know about that as well. Because, you know, we talked very broad today. Ask us to go more specific. We're totally cool with it.
As broad as female shoulders.
What, Glitch? You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have news and updates on anything going on, videos coming out, news that we find along the internet. You guys can also chat with us there. You guys always send us really funny messages on Facebook, things that you find across the internet. And of course, you can always find our Facebook event for Wicked Anime Live coming up on June 27th. If you guys are local to Orlando, come over to the Geekeasy, or even Florida. Come to the Geekeasy at a comic shop, and Wicked Anime will be live there. Most of the Wicked Anime cast will be there, which is freaking awesome!
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to see me.
Yes, you get to go and see Glitch while our show is going on.
And Glitch might possibly make you a drink.
Actually, I bet if you give him money, he will almost definitely give you a drink. As long as you're 21, of course.
Well, yeah, you can make a soda.
Yeah, you can make a soda, yeah. Let me make
sure. Shirley Temple.
And then after Facebook.com, of course, we have our wickedanime.tumblr.com, where, you know, we post on the trash heap of the internet funny things that we find from different folks around the internet. And then you can find us at twitter.com, which is @YoWickedAnime. Tweet us @YoWickedAnime. Love them tweets.
YouTube?
Yeah, you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we're
slash,
you know, posting videos. Yeah, slash, I know, backslash, whatever. It's just a reaction at this point.
People find us, so it's okay.
Yeah, they haven't been messed up yet. Yet. I mean, it's, oh, where is this YouTube thing at? I don't know. Where we're currently working on the Anime Boston videos, and even some review videos that are going to be coming out soon for this new season of Wicked Anime, hopefully. Yoo-hoo! We have a bunch of great ideas. We're working on also talking with a lot of collaboration stuff with people around the internet from the YouTubes, which is really fun. And, of course, you can find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our podcast, if you're not listening to it right now, on SoundCloud, /wickedanime, or iTunes.
Now you're just saying it on purpose.
What?
Backslash.
Backslash, yeah. Well, it's not going to change. I'm sorry.
Slash back.
And you can also find our videos there on nerdyshow.com. You can actually also find the live event on nerdyshow.com. So make sure you go RSVP, please. We are really looking forward to seeing you guys there. It's going to be a really fun event. For those of you who can't see our local to Boston panels or whatever.
Yeah, but regardless of whether or not you show up, we're still going to have fun. So, you know, who needs you anyways?
Yeah, you can't. I can't confirm nor deny this, but there may or may not be live streaming anyway for those who can't see us there.
Really?
Yeah, we stream now.
Well, because I know that we stream, but a couple of our fans actually shot us messages asking if we were going to be doing that. So, ooh. I said recording, yes, definitely. Streaming, a very strict possibility depending on who's going to be there. So, Glitch has the authority now. All right, guys.
I have authority now. I have power.
I have the power! All right, guys. Thank you for joining us for episode 66 of the Wicked Anime Podcast.
You can listen to us next time. Be sure to keep an ear out or an eye out wherever you are on the internet for more Monster Hunter Weekend updates. First Monster Hunter Weekend was a blast and totally successful, so we'll see you there next time.
I need to play more Monster Hunter, god damn it.
Yeah, you do. So we'll see you next time. You can listen to us next time, whatever it is. But right now we're going to sign off the only way we know how. Okay, bye.
Hey, bye.
Bye. Bye.
So what is the new for episode 69?
Well, we could do the fan fiction episode.
We could do the fan fiction episode, yeah.
We actually have more fan fiction? Damn it!
Is he half dinosaur or a full dinosaur? I don't know what Bowser's race was.
Or a turtle?
He was a Koopa.
Well, that's not a real thing, though.
King Koopa. What, okay, so they actually hired a turtle named Bowser?
Yeah. We forgot to feed the vice president.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.